Okay, so I put the mask on. This is the most uncomfortable thing ever.
I can't even see you. Is it a prime mask or something?
No. It's my skull.
It sounds
mask.
Good, though. It sounds what? A little muffled, but not
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, it's going to sound a little muffled.
You're a little pitchy, dog.
I'm far away from the microphone.
Well, I
because
cannot.
Because of my snout.
Mm.
Oh, God, JD, if I make a Donkey Kruger joke, nobody but you would get it, but it's there.
You know, I mean, Don, you could have just got one of those Duck Dynasty beards and you could have been JD.
I would rather shoot myself with something painful.
Don, I guarantee you, you want to be me. Brian, doesn't Don want to be me?
Usually, yeah, I think so.
Okay, thank you.
If it ever happens, is there a vaccination for it?
Well, you will need them.
Hey, you. Subscribe. You're watching Radio Free Cybertron. Hosted by Brian Kilby, with JD Church, John DeLuna, XV, Amy Morgan, and Rob Clay. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
Make sure it's recording.
The audio version of this is going to be great, because it sounds like you're in a GIMP mask.
I'm going to take it off after a minute. I'll have to.
I'm afraid to ask how JD knows what that actually sounds like.
Never mind.
There's just some things you don't want to know, Don.
Yes.
Okay. This is Radio Free Cybertron. I'm your host, Squirrel Brian Kilby. It's our Halloween episode. If you're listening, you have no idea what I'm talking about.
But if you're watching this on the archive 5 years from now, and it's July,
and I'm dead, you'll know why. So, with me this week, I have Robin the Boy Wonder, a beardless JD, and JD.
Guess which one is which?
Now, we have Diecast dressed as Robin, Don dressed as a very sick and down Don, who is somehow, you know, putting himself at risk to do the show, and we have JD.
Well, sorry.
I'll just call my favorite burning justice. It works out that way.
Yep, pretty much. So, how are you guys doing?
Hey, I'm here, man.
I'm doing good. I got a lot of stuff in the mail. Mail's good.
Yeah, Don and I hung out at the Greensboro Comic Con. I'm going to have to take this mask off. Greensboro Comic Con this weekend.
And who had 30 seconds?
I think that was a minute. And that was fun. Don, what was your favorite part about the convention?
Getting to see you again.
I hear no way. There you go.
And winning the free $10 comic book.
Yeah, we actually saw our buddy Brandon David, a.k.a. Primus Prankster from Twitter. I can't remember if we met him at BotCon 2010 or not. I think we did. Or 2012, whatever year. No, 2012.
It was the one I was there with.
Yeah. I'm virtually certain we met. There's so many people. But we got to hang out with him at the convention, and his father-in-law runs a comic shop. I ended up buying.
That's badass.
I know, isn't it? And he helps out. I bought a couple comics. I bought. Do you remember that issue of Batman from the 60s? That I think it said something the effect. It has basically Robin hanging from a noose, but you don't see the noose. You just see his feet hanging, and Batman's in shock. And it's like, how many ways can Robin die?
And Batman on the stage, he's saying, "Oh no, not again."
Yeah, it's great. It's great. And I got issue 101 of Amazing Spider-Man because it also had a great cover. But yeah, so that was fun. Don got to meet Jonathan Hickman.
Yes.
And he thanked him for the power pack.
It was so great you could bring them back because, you know, they weren't forgotten on a shelf. And
So what did he say, Don?
Well, he just said that he was glad to do it. And if his run was going to continue, he wanted to bring them back more.
Sure.
They just ran out of time.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
I buy that one.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Hey, you have your fans. You have your likes. I have mine.
So, on the show this week, we have a comic review of Robots in Disguise number 22. We have Q&A with Rob Springer. We have a retro Transformers Rewind, fitting the Halloween theme. It's Dark Awakening.
Ooh.
But let's start things off this week with This Week in History. So, 10 years ago this week, in 2003, the Transformers was released by Atlas for the PlayStation 2 in Japan. So, ooh, who else has played this game besides me?
Now, which one is that, Brian?
The G1 game. It was Japanese. It's all kinds of terrible. It's full of things like, you know, bad control, invisible barriers. It's just...
I mean, prior to Armada, was there any good, like,
no,
Transformers game?
No. Sadly, the best Transformers game is either the Beast Wars game, maybe Metals, the fighting game, or even possibly, believe it or not, Beast Wars 2nd for the Game Boy Color. That's kind of not incredibly terrible.
That Beast Wars game is awful.
It is. Oh, dude. But keep in mind what you're comparing it to. You're comparing it to Headmasters for the Famicom Disk System, which is pretty terrible. Mystery of Convoy for the NES. I've never played the Commodore 64 game, but I have to assume it's pretty terrible. Yeah, it's all pretty bad.
Wow. Yeah, didn't I send those to you?
Yeah, you did. Those, yeah, I do. Thank you. Yeah. I got those in timely manner too.
I think that I probably should give you an apology or something.
I should still get a copy of Metals for the N64. If I remember correctly, that was a Blockbuster exclusive rental that you had that you can only get if Blockbuster was selling them, and of course they were because they were going broke.
Still,
yeah.
I sent you Metals too, didn't I?
The US one? Okay. For the PlayStation, yeah.
Yeah, for PlayStation. Okay. Sorry about that as well. But hey, it had the voice actors, so
hey, it's got mouth in it, doesn't it?
I think so.
Daniel Ross, doesn't he play?
Yeah, I think he does a couple of voices in that for whoever they couldn't get to do it.
Plus, they even had Windraiser from the BotCon exclusive figure as the alternate playable character for Silver Bowl.
Doesn't he do that voice? Isn't that one of the voices he does?
I believe so. Yeah, that sounds correct.
Yeah. That's cool. I think that was one of his first big gigs.
Mm-hmm.
Look where he is now. Yeah. He's making awesome, kind of crazy awesome B-movies.
Oh.
Like ninjas versus zombies and stuff like that. I think that's pretty cool.
That's fun to me.
Having actually tried to make a movie once, it's not easy.
No, it is not. No.
Oh, God, I should link to the movie that I made.
I made a Vine once. Does that...
No. Yeah, I'll you know, in the show notes, honest to God, I'm just going to link to the movie that I was in a few years ago. It was terrible.
Oh.
It's all kinds of terrible. Okay. God. Okay, so in the news this week... this is odd. Speaking of terrible, we have the Transformers Prime Beast Hunters Voyager series from 2014, Series 1, the easy transformation figures, i.e. the scaled-up figures. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, these are, like, not knockoff quality, but knockoff designs, basically. They're just old figures that have been scaled up.
Why would they even bother? I mean, they already have good molds of these figures in Voyager sizes and Beast Wars – or Beast Wars. It's done. The show's done. It's over.
Yeah, but they can sell these because it's an Optimus Prime.
When is this coming out? December? Christmas?
December.
Done.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, people are going to grab them and throw them in the cart.
And they are
kids,
easy to transform exactly right for the kids. And for the kids and for Ender. Ender will buy this.
Oh, yeah, totally. Ender's like, damn it.
Yeah. Oh, he's not as damn it with this one as he is with the next one.
Yes.
God, that is ugly.
Isn't it not ugly?
It's terrible.
It's got a face only a mother can love.
Do you remember, was it SDCC or BotCon when we saw that figure that we thought was MP10 but reworked? What turns out, it was Transformers Action Toys Ultimetal Optimus Prime. It's 17 inches tall. It includes die-cast metal parts, light sounds. It speaks. And it's $800.
Yeah.
Take that, Ender.
Oh, man.
It's pretty. Don't get me wrong. It's gorgeous.
It's beautiful.
So if you see Ender working behind the smoke shop in downtown, you know why.
It's a little... Actually, the back of it, it's a little over-detailed for me. I'm like, wow, that's a lot going on just on his back.
It's Ultimetal, though, so you kind of have to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to have everything.
But I wouldn't get it. But for someone that likes the high end stuff, that's probably the best looking Prime. That doesn't for your collection. They probably got the idea from that Solo Jogokin Mazinger.
Almost certainly.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's for doing that.
Hey, but hey, look, the axe fits in the back, and he's got a little butt plug.
Optimus does not have a butt plug.
He does. Look, it's right there.
Only JD would notice
that.
It's
just a stand. I mean, honestly, I would say MP10 looks better than this figure.
I would say MP10 is incredibly comparable to this.
Yes.
I would say that this is not even in the same ballpark just because they're not the same thing.
They are not the same thing. This is gorgeous. This is
meant to be a high-end display statue.
Well, it's more than a statue, but I get what you're saying.
Statue is a quotation. It's a posable.
It's like one of those $200 Indiana Jones dolls.
Yeah,
with the leather jacket and all that. It's like the ultimate realization of the character in action figure form.
Right.
I don't know how this is going to sell. I hope it does well enough that they do a second one, because I would like to see what a G1 Megatron would look like in this same format.
I give you that would look pretty cool.
That would almost be better, because at least, it would line up with the movie and the scan that they did. But, I mean, $800 is a lot to pay for a figure that doesn't transform.
But it's not – I mean, that's not even – It's apples and oranges. I mean, that's not even what it's meant for,
So who is the target audience for this?
I would say that this would be for, like I said, high-end collectors. This is for people, that have a lot of money and remember G1 Transformers. This is a 30th anniversary, special deal. The people that are going to buy this are going to be upper middle class and rich folk. I mean –
And also,
who else is going to pay almost $1,000 for a statue toy?
And also, there are a lot of Solo Jogokin collectors that will spend the money if it's a well done character. They don't care for the transforming part of the Transformers, but if they've got one that's comparable to, say, a Mazinger figure in that level of detail, they would jump all over that.
Yeah,
because it's their niche.
Right. So I mean, like I said, though, this is not meant for, us lowly middle class, low middle class, collectors that look at a $15 toy and go, ooh, I don't know. I mean, it's just not, this is high end stuff. So, but it looks good for what it wants to be. I mean, for what it's intended to be.
I think I'm going to buy it.
Well, you should, because you don't have the money, but you have the open credit. So.
I'm kidding. I'm not buying it.
Well, if nothing else,
remember the story from this morning about getting in trouble? Yeah.
So what did you buy? What did you buy? What did you buy?
No, I'm just saying, translate that to my situation, and that would not be good. So, yeah, I'm not buying it. No.
So, you guys like Kabaya? You like Overlord? Well, you're in luck.
Oh, I'm yes. So excited.
I'm totally getting this.
Me too.
I
already
really,
ordered.
I really like Kabaya. They really vary, I think, in quality. If my Fort Max kit is really nice, our kits, but some of the smaller individual kits maybe aren't that great. Some of the old ones, Optimus Prime. Like the first one I ever got was Optimus Prime several years ago. He's a little bit crummy, but the kits have gotten better, and Overlord looks amazing.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
unfortunately, Road Caesar looks to be about the same as his DX counterpart.
Yeah, Road Caesar doesn't look as good. Oh, I mean, the individual parts, though, I think the combined mode looks great.
Mm-hmm.
The individual parts look pretty okay, but he's really hip heavy. He's really got ginormous hips. Well, that's my big problem with it.
Well, pretty much, if you get this combined kit, you're going to have about an accurate representation of the regular Road Caesar, because he has the exact same problem. I'm looking at mine now. It don't get much better, kids.
I don't know that I've actually ever seen a combined Road Caesar in person.
Yeah, I don't think I have either. No, think about it. Can you pull that down for us, Don? Thanks for the
yeah. Give me a second. I just gotta move Meta B.
All right.
Don, you're failing the test. You have to have that thing more available to grab.
Yeah, look at how XV used to do it.
Yeah.
He just reached into his bag of holding and just like.
Well, I am not as awesome. Gotta as be XV.
Right
I'm
there.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's very similar. It's a very similar problem.
Yeah. How much do you want for that, Don?
As of right now, nothing.
Okay, but how
done,
much?
Done.
I'll take it. Easy. I'm not even interested in it, but I'll take it for that.
Just give it away? Oh, awesome.
I'll pay shipping even. You know?
It's a similar problem. The G1 toy looks a little better as far as that hip problem goes, because he just has ginormous, like, sumo legs in the Kabaya mode.
Yeah, it's just, but not by much.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know.
Yeah. I want this. I think, what did it say, 26 for the case?
Yeah, that would be the retail there, something like that. You'll probably end up spending 40 or 50.
No.
I'm trying to remember how much the last case of Kabaya I got one.
How much? Why would I pay that much? Well, I mean, for like I could probably just get the individual boxes if I had Mike get it.
Probably.
So, how many boxes is it?
It'll be 5.
So
these are bigger boxes than
5 times 5 is.
They're probably more. It's probably more than 5. It's probably more like 7 or 8.
I thought it was 3.
3?
No, it's not 3. There's at least 2. It's 1, 2, 3. I mean, it looks like 5.
I got to check my
order. Now, Fortress weapons. Came 5, right?
Fortress, 5 in a case, 3 parts.
Yeah. Well, see, if they do 5 again, every case will be a complete set of both.
Yeah, should be.
So it's 5 to a case, right?
Yeah, 5 to a case.
So
I think after shipping and everything, you're probably going to drop 40 or 50 bucks.
Yeah.
Why would it be that much to ship?
I'm just telling you based on what I bought in the past.
Yeah, but did you buy them or did you get them from
like Big Bad or TF Source or something?
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to get them from Mike.
Yeah.
I have too many people that live in Japan to get me stuff.
I like so, Mike. I like Mike. Get him to get it for me too.
If you want, well, maybe he could get a case, and that'd be 2, and then
a case is like a whole set of both,
isn't it? 2 sets?
My order says Kapaya DX Overlord / Road Caesar set of 3 for 32.
Set of 3
from and that's from Captured Prey.
Oh well, it certainly looks like 5 to me. Well,
oh, it's 25 plus 7. I paid like $7 shipping, so it came to set. And they're saying it's going to be a box of 3 for all of those.
Okay, so it's not a complete case.
Oh, it's 24 for the case. That's what it's saying.
Okay.
Well, y'all got Orson's number on speed.
So it's $5. So a case would be 25. The shipping's got to be.
And I need milk and eggs too. That'll be another, I don't know, $4. And then we got to figure out, you know, the power bill and.
Yeah. I'm just gonna email Mike.
Math is exciting.
Have him get me. You don't really listen to Superhero Time that much, do you?
I try not to.
Don, how often do we do math on that show?
That depends on who finds what where. And then everybody goes to buy something in the middle of the podcast.
Yeah, we haven't done that in a while. We have to do the breakout purchase in the middle of the show.
I haven't done that in a while. I think the last thing I bought on the show was God, what was the last thing? Probably some Creo stuff. Whatever it was I got from HTS last.
Yeah. Speaking of Mike, I wonder if he's online.
Okay. I guess the only item that we have in the third-party roundup, or the only thing that I put in there, at Slagicon, Master Shooter released a Target Master, not Target Master, called Strange Dog, which is an homage to Weird Wolf.
This is bizarre.
Isn't it? I love it, though.
Yeah, I kind of like it. I kind of like it, but it is bizarre.
It's like Mini-Me, basically.
It looks so good.
It looks nice. It's a very odd thing. I don't know why you would have, you know, a Target Master to match a Headmaster.
But those bright colors for a little figure really work.
It's inspired. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I think it's an inspired idea. Why it's never been done before, I don't know. I think this is a pretty nifty idea. You know, it's probably not worth mentioning, but I'm going to do it. I saw, and I can't remember where, that it was announced that we would be getting a third party, aka not Trypticon, but all we had was a silhouette of the G1 toy, which is completely worthless. If you're going to release some sort of third-party toy and you want to tease it, do not just put a silhouette out of the G1 toy. Because it certainly looked like the G1 toy, and if that's the case, why would we want a third-party version of it? But with that being said, I think we've talked about a third-party Trypticon possibility. Is anyone excited for that?
I am.
Where?
I'm not, for some reason. Who? A third-party Trypticon.
No. No. Hell no.
I mean, why?
Why?
Why is the question?
Because I don't have a Trypticon, and I would love a giant Trypticon.
Well, Diecast, you could probably get the Beast Wars 2 version.
Gigastorm. Yeah. I bought a Gigastorm mint in box for $50 10 years ago, but he's probably not that much more expensive. He was the Korean version.
Well, I think there was a rumor about it. Was it a Trypticon that came out that was a knockoff? That was a couple months ago. A G1 knockoff?
No, it was Scorponok.
No. Oh,
yeah.
That was Scorponok.
There's a high quality Scorponok.
I just keep hoping for a Trypticon, so eventually.
Yeah, me too. No. Sorry, JD and I are exchanging basketball stuff.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah. Hey, Brian, just doing a quick check of eBay. The cheapest Gigastorm now is $165.
Not worth it.
How much longer do you think Don's voice is going to last?
It's already gone. Hey, Don, I heard that they started doing a G1 RC third-party toy that was a Headmaster, but they scrapped it for lack of interest.
Why did you do this?
Why? Should I do your voice for you, Don? Why don't you type it, and then I'll say it for you.
I'll type something, all right, JD.
I'm kidding.
No, you're kidding.
Let's go ahead and jump to comic news, and we will be back right after this.
It's now time for comic news with Amy Morgan.
Comic news this week. There is a trickle, and why not do the comic news even though there's only hardly anything to talk about? But that's all right, because we've got Robots in Disguise issue 22 this week, and we also have Beast Hunters issue 6. But we also have, and on top of that, we have the Autocracy motion comic. I think we're up to issue number 10 this week, so you can find those at your local comic shop, or with the Autocracy comic, you can find that at the Madefire app. We have two little bits that have come out. Two articles from two different comic websites. One from bleedingcool.com, where they talked a bit on the IDW pack-in comics, which I have to say, really liking that idea. My son, yesterday, I took him to the store, and I gave him a choice of what he wanted, and he picked out Megatron, which I thought was pretty spiffy. He's got good taste, what can I say? That was a really good comic, too. So, but yes, bleedingcool.com talked about the pack-in comics. It was pretty interesting to read. But then we also got a article from Comic Book Resources, who interviewed John and James about Dark Cybertron. Now, for the last couple weeks, we've had a couple of articles just trickling out over and over, keeping Dark Cybertron in the news on the major comic sites. And every single one that they have, there's like this little trickle of this is what it's going to be about. And so if you've been following all of them, it's highly amusing to read them and find out, like, there's just one little line where they tease this, or there's one little line where they tease that. Well, they did it again in Comic Book Resources. So definitely check out those. You can find them on T-Formers. I think all of the Transformers sites have them, but definitely check out T-Formers. They've got it up there. Last and certainly not least, this is really the big reason why I decided that I really need to put this news out here. If you recall, BotCon, June, just this last year, they had a publishing panel, and at the publishing panel they teased quite a few things, but one of them was this thing called the Ultimate Transformers Pop-Up Book. It's by Matthew Reinhardt, and you know, I think everybody was kind of like, oh, pop-up book, yeah. Well, if you went to the panel, he actually had a sample. And the engineering that they put out about what it is, you know, how to create these books, it was just so incredibly fascinating. And to see the detail in this pop-up book that they did, it pretty much won me over. And I think a lot of people that I talked with after that just said, yeah, I think I'm going to have to get that, because that, you know, and I heard some of the temperature of some of the people reporting afterwards saying, that's looking pretty cool. So anyhow, long story short, it is now available on Amazon. So if you went to BotCon and you remember those moments, definitely check this out, because I haven't ordered mine yet. I just haven't done it yet, and I'm really flaky about Amazon because they've sent me a couple things damaged. I don't like having to send things back if they're damaged, because it's like, I want it, but I have to send it back. It's kind of a hassle. And, you know, so because of that, I'm like, I try to wait till I have quite a few things. So if I'm ordering one thing, it usually always comes damaged, which really sucks. So I haven't ordered it yet, but I'm putting together an order this next week, and I'm going to get it. And I'm like, yes, if I can get my act together, maybe I'll even review it and put a little video or something. Anyhow, long story short, this is really a disorganized comic news report, but it is what it is. And that's all I have. So we'll catch you next week.
Warning. The following segment may contain spoilers for the most recent Transformers comic books. Okay, so this week we've got two comic books. Beast Hunters number 6 and Robots in Disguise 22 came out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not quite as bad of a pairing as, like, you know, anything from the month earlier.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a rough week in general, but it's sort of like we were saying before in email, when Regeneration 1 is the strongest book of the month,
yeah,
there might be a little problem.
A little bit, yeah. Because
I mean, More Than Meets the Eye was on point with the writing, as usual.
Mm-hmm.
But that art just hurts.
Yes, it does. It is just so ugly.
So, why don't we go ahead and run through Beast Hunters quick-ish?
okay. There's not a lot to say about it. It picks up from where we left off last month with, you know, Cybertron being reformed and everybody, you know, now scrambling to get to the surface. Problem being that we've split the group in the, you know, the main characters into three separate groups. Grimlock and Swoop are with the group from New Kalos. I think it's Slug and Sludge are with a Blackout from the Forged, who Slug recovered slash arrested last month. And Snarl is stuck back in Grimlock City trying to get everybody out of there. It's really hard to split a narrative three ways.
When you have 20 pages to work with.
Yeah. And when, you know, it requires everybody to be on the ball because the, you know, the catacombs beneath Cybertron are all gray or brown. So you have to try and create distinct situations for three groups of red, gray, and gold characters leading other groups through brown tunnels.
I'll be honest, there were points where I really couldn't tell that we had changed to a different group.
That's the problem, yes.
Yeah, I know. I mean, even I, paying attention as, you know, I must for these purposes, you know, studying the situation, have a hard time keeping up with when the scene transitions.
Yeah.
The only real time I could tell for sure was when it went to Grimlock and Swoop, because Grimlock was in dinosaur mode.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And we've got a new inker on parts of this book again, you know, just if I had to guess, I'd say it's because the artist having trouble keeping deadlines, but it's just kind of a missed opportunity because his style is distinct enough from Agustin Padilla's that they could have used him on one of the three story branches to make it more distinct.
Mm-hmm.
But it the pages do not fall that way. They are pretty much closer to the end of the book, again, in the way you would expect if deadlines were a concern.
Right.
So there's that. There's the fact that the coloring, again, you could have, you know, had different shades of catacombs, different colored tunnels, something. But it just never, you know, quite gels it, you know, in a visual way to keep you surprised where you actually are.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, as I was reading through issue 6, it felt to me like this would be part one of a two-part story.
Yeah.
You know, this itself being the act of getting out of the underground, then to find out what's happening on the surface. And I guess some of that will carry on into the next issue and the final storyline for the series, but this didn't feel like the conclusion to its own storyline.
Yeah.
The way this it was presented to us originally.
Yeah. This is really the first one that does not feel wrapped up neatly, and that doesn't particularly help things either.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of, you know, I'm wondering if there's maybe a rush to get things wrapped up now since this could be about when they found out they only got to until issue 8. I don't know.
I want to say that was about 4 or 5 months ago.
Okay.
That the solicitations started being of 8.
Mm.
And that was when they found out that it wasn't being continued on. Because a few people were asking Margaret on Twitter what was up with that, and she didn't have an answer to give.
Man.
Yeah, I felt very bad at that point for her and for the book.
It's like breaking up somebody through voicemail.
Or text message.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I really hope she gets an opportunity to do more Transformers work.
Yeah, me too.
Or, you know, some ongoing writing work.
Oh, I'm sure she will have ongoing writing work, but I'd love to see her work on Transformers some more. To be honest, I'd love to see her do something where she is not beholden to a writer's room or a partnership with another writer or anything like that, and can just do what she wants to do. I would like to see what that looks like because I'm pretty sure I'd like it.
Yeah. Just give her a chance to get her creativity out on paper.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would even take a one shot to that effect just to see what it would be.
Yeah, maybe I'm sure there'll be more spotlights. Maybe we can have her do one of those.
I don't know if there will be more spotlights since, you know, now they're rolling Dark Cybertron over into successive waves of toys.
Well, it's true.
And by the time, you know, that's over with, 12 toys from now, more, because they're doing some of the Prelude issues as pack-ins, too, they'll probably be ready to go on to something else.
Well, yeah.
Okay, so Robots in Disguise, which somehow manages to even not do much better than Beast Hunters did this month.
Yeah.
So, okay, the story is weak. I mean, I'm just going to lay that out there. And I understand why it's weak, because, you know, More Than Meets the Eye had its ongoing storyline that had to get wrapped up, and then they wanted to do issue 22 to both work as the pack-in and basically the pre-jumping on point for Dark Cybertron, basically an introduction to all the concepts in one package. One badly, badly drawn package. Robots in Disguise kind of had to sit in place and just, you know, make up its own time through that. And I think getting this Soundwave backstory stretched into two issues is a symptom of that.
Yeah.
There was no time to plan an extra issue and nothing else to put into this space to consolidate that down. It had to get stretched out, and that really weakened the entire thing.
Yeah.
If this could have been chopped down and edited into a smaller space, I think it would have read a lot more strongly. And I mean, there's interesting-ish insights into Soundwave's background, but they're all spaced out and kind of padded in such a way that I lose interest between things.
Also, there's the problem that I had looking back over this and the previous issue, which is that practically every line for Soundwave or Shockwave is just terribly oblique in some way. Nobody is actually saying what they mean. They're kind of spending the whole time testing each other to see if they can figure out what they mean, which means that what we get is two books in a row of two characters talking past each other. And that gets kind of tired.
Plus, you don't learn anything.
Yeah.
Like, I may be stupid, but part of my motivation to read an ongoing fiction is to, you know, learn about the setting, the characters, the situation. We don't have any of that with these issues.
No,
try to, and, you know, little bits and pieces here of information do filter through, but the main dialogue of it, the focus of the story is not really imparting anything.
Yeah. I mean, basically the last page of the story gives us, you know, some background on Soundwave that I found fairly interesting, but again, it's something that had been kind of tried to use as a theme, so it had been repeated enough times that it was not particularly a surprise either.
And then, contrary to all reason, the Remendelli part of the book is not the art I have a problem with.
Yeah, that's weird.
I don't know, after we were talking about it, if you were able to go back and see it yourself, but the art in Andrew Griffith's part of the book is very flat.
Yeah.
There's no depth to the scene composition. It may be partly on the coloring. I'm not really sure, you know, where this would stop at, but basically, to lift a line from my written review, there is an omnipresent light source in almost every panel, so nothing casts a shadow. You can't simulate the depth of field, which I'll use that term because I'm a photographer too. You can't get a sense of how the perspective plays because there's no shading to indicate anything's in a different position from something else. There's several places where Shockwave looks like a wall sculpture.
Yeah, and
embedded into a wall.
Yeah, and after I read that in your review, I went back and looked, and yeah, he looks like he's embedded in the damn wall. It's really kind of silly.
You know, the line work and the characters being on model is all pretty much perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all that is what I would expect from Griffith's work. He's amazingly consistent with how he draws the characters.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people have commented on that over the 20-plus issue run of the series. There is amazing consistency from page to page, issue to issue. But that's not enough.
No.
You need them composed a certain way, and then you need the scene basically lit the right way. Remendelli really shows a contrast here because he is so good at that environmental coloring.
Yeah.
I hate the way he designs robots, but the way he colors a scene and makes the environment is pretty much perfect.
Yeah. I don't mean this as an insult. I'm afraid it's going to sound like one, but I really don't mean it that way. He would be great at landscape painting or, you know, environmental design for Transformers shows or games or something like that.
There's the one panel, which is an establishing shot for one of the flashbacks where it's the cityscape at sundown.
Mm-hmm.
And it's beautiful.
It is. It's just that when he has to draw robots in these cityscapes and draw them doing things in perspective that it's when it all falls apart. But
although there was another panel with it was basically close-ups on Soundwave and Megatron, which mm-hmm. actually looked really good.
Well, yeah.
Like, again, I don't want this to sound like insulting, but it's like surprisingly good looking, this one panel.
Yeah.
And I kind of wish he could do that all the time, because if he could, I mean, that would be a really good thing going on with anything he works on.
Yeah. I don't even quite know how to say it. You know, he's got the finish down, and occasionally he gets, you know, the structure in a good place. It's just, you know, I wish he could get to a place where that's any kind of consistent, because, well, you know.
And the thing is, he is fairly consistent in how he creates the robots. It's just that his style is very different from everyone else's, and I don't really care for it myself, but outside of a few cases, he is fairly consistent, like, you know, the Shockwave TV head thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what it comes down to for me, is that, you know, I mean, the construction, it is very pretty, painterly, dreamwavy construction, like I've said before, but, you know, because I had to go through like all of Monstrosity, you know, that's pretty much when I started noticing that, you know, Grimlock's head was never the same from panel to panel. And that bugs me.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know, here he has definitely got stronger art. Sorry, been a long day. You know, it's better.
Yeah, I mean, in a contest between the painted landscapes, beautiful cities, and this wall relief,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really no contest.
Yeah. Now, if you were to divide up the book with Remendelli on composition, Andrew Griffith on pencils, and Remendelli on paints and finishes, that would probably be really great.
I think I'd be in love with it. I mean, we're not the first people to suggest that he should try coloring other people's line work.
Yeah.
I think that would make a really, really strong product.
It would.
There's the comic artist who does a lot of DC stuff whose name I cannot remember, but he is that painted style too, but more traditional line work. Super Grover. He did a Super Grover.
Alex Ross?
Yes. I knew that would jog one of our memories. You know, I kind of feel like if Remendelli would color other people's line work, we would get something like that, but in Transformers.
Yeah.
And I'd really like to see that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I think that wraps up our comic reviews for this week. Up next, we got Amy with a few minutes of comics news.
Radio Free Cybertron has teamed up with Kokomo Toys and Collectibles in Kokomo, Indiana. If you're in the Kokomo area, visit our store for a huge selection of new and classic toys. Visit online at www.kokomotoys.com for our address and store hours. While you're there, check out our listing of pre-order items, as well as visit our eBay store. Visit us at www.kokomotoys.com. That's KOKOMOTOYS.com. We're also on Facebook.
You boys a bit bored? Snap me to it! Snap me to a Slim Jim!
Hey guys, it's Rob. And this week's question comes from our friend Mike Mallory. Mike Mallory goes on to ask, have you guys heard anything about a new Encore release and what is going on with that line? Well, Mike, thanks for your question. And to sum it up, nope. However, you guys have to deal with me a second. I lost my voice working at my haunted house, and it's slowly coming back, but for the moment it's all scratchy. So we sound like the Macho Man. But, Mike, nope, don't know anything. But to be honest with you, Mike, there'll be another reissue come out. Thing is about the whole Encore line, it's just a renaming of the reissue line. And that thing's been going steadily since, like, what, 2000? What they'll probably do, if they don't continue the Encore line, they'll probably just start calling it something else. And, of course, that means they'll restart again, which some people said, hey, I already got all these Encores, I want more. It's like, well, hey, you know what? A lot of those came out as the book releases. You know, and a lot of them came up before that as the commemorative series. So, if the Encore doesn't what the hell just happened? If the Encore series doesn't continue, the reissue series will. It just might start all over again because it looks like they focus more on the first 2 years of G1 as opposed to anything else, which is kind of a bummer because it's like, hey, 30 something years now, could you guys re-release something other than 1984 through 1985? And the answer is nope. But I would, you know what I'd like to see re-released? Because, you know, I kid, but like in 06 they re-released some Beast Wars modes. And they re-released Laser Prime. I'd like to see more stuff like, of course, I always say those late G1 reissues. I mean, releases reissued. But how about some of the Euro G1 and G2 era stuff? That'd be great. You know, it's been on my mind, and I'm sure it's been on some other people's mind. I think Overlord's on his way. And I'm saying that purely based on speculation, not on any concrete truth. But you know, those Kabaya models have been kind of an indicator on what's coming out soon. You know, like, Fort Max had a Kabaya kit come out. Then like a month or two later, his reissue was announced. So, here's this Overlord one coming out. And he comes with, what, Road Caesar? I'm wondering if him or Road Caesar team will be released next. And boy, I hope so. I'd like to get my hands on Overlord. Right now, it looks like that Kabaya kit's the only way I'm going to do it affordably. Because for the longest, I've been like, nope, I ain't paying that crap. So, hey, let's just hang tight, Mike, and see what the future brings us. With the movie coming out next year and the 30th anniversary in play right now, I'm sure some pretty interesting stuff's going to come pretty soon. Yeah, it's just a matter of waiting and seeing. Okay? Well, guys, woo yeah. And why don't you guys check out my blog, roborobspringer.tumblr.com, and you can ask me a question there if you'd like, or you can ask us questions through any of our means. You can write me directly, rob@tfradio.net, or go to tfradio.net, check out any of our other means to contact us. There you'll probably find ways to all of our social media. You can ask me through there, all sorts of stuff. So please keep sending your questions, and I'll answer them one by one. So why don't we get back to the Funky Bunch and see what they're up to. Cool? Cool it now. All right, guys. Kids Club. See you later. Thanks. Bye. I'm an idiot. I'm always like, where's the stop button? It's right there, but my mouse is always over here, so you guys can see me going, for a second. Thanks for watching. Bye.
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Radio Free Cybertron.
Transformers.
Rewind.
This week on Transformers Rewind, it's Dark Awakening, here to destroy your childhood.
It's not stopping.
No Autobot could survive that. Until all are one.
Having had to once again explode the majority of one of their ships to escape Decepticon pursuit, Rodimus, Magnus, Cup, RC, Daniel, and Spike take refuge in the conveniently nearby Autobot Mausoleum ship, where among others happens to lie the body of Optimus Prime.
It's awesome!
It's the size of Manhattan.
I'd hope never to see it again.
What's wrong? What is that thing?
A tomb.
We built it
as a final resting place for the Autobots we lost in the Great War.
Like Optimus Prime? Do we have to go inside?
Nothing in there can hurt us, Daniel.
That's the Veil of Remembrance, a memorial to the Autobot heroes whose chassis and servos rest here.
Daniel goes wandering around the alien robot graveyard by himself and swears he saw Optimus Prime walking around. Rodimus decides to rip open Prime's grave and finds it empty.
Ironhide. Ratchet. Prowl. Huffer. Oh no! No. It's empty. I told you.
The Decepticons they sought to escape find them and all appears lost until Rodimus' group is saved by Optimus Prime.
Back! It's our only chance!
We have them! Finish it! Rodimus, we can lay your wreckage beside that of your mentor.
Decepticons, leave this place or die.
Optimus Prime.
Optimus has no idea why he's alive, but that's good enough for Rodimus, who promptly forces the Matrix back upon him. Optimus then begins acting a little oddly, attacking the other Autobots and setting a self-destruct in the mausoleum. Optimus then strands everybody while he returns to Cybertron.
Is it safe?
What? The Matrix. Yes. I've been keeping it warm for you.
Wait, Optimus is in no condition to assume leadership?
Come on, guys, he's just shook up a little. You'd be too if you'd been dead for years.
Darkness, cold, then light. Must complete plan.
Yeah, what's the plan?
Optimus built himself an escape ship.
Still think he's unfit to lead us?
No!
Optimus tells the other Autobots that Rodimus and company were killed by Quintessons and orders up an attack on their base. Hot Rod and the rest escape the mausoleum just before it falls into a star and arrive at Cybertron to find everybody else has already left. The Autobot fleet is faring poorly against the Quintessons, and Hot Rod boards Prime's ship and sets out to find him.
The blast doors to the command center are locked! Optimus, front and center!
I've been waiting.
I'm taking command.
What took you so long? What did they do to me? I have to...
I don't want to fight you.
Then stop me.
How? What do I do?
Please, Rodimus! Not again. Matrix makes me too strong.
Now there's a unique complaint.
When Hot Rod encounters Prime, Prime rains blows upon Hot Rod, but at the same time, Optimus begins to remember the Quintessons reanimating him as part of this very trap to destroy the Autobots. Optimus returns the Matrix to Hot Rod, and Optimus leaves as the other Autobots take Rodimus and evacuate the already heavily damaged ship. Optimus takes control of it, and orders the fleet away from the Quintessons, and then flies it into the middle of the trap, resulting in a star system shattering kaboom. Everyone is very sad that Optimus has died again.
Optimus Prime to Autobot Fleet. Return to Cybertron. That is my final command.
What? The Autobot Fleet is escaping.
And their flagship is on a collision trajectory with the detonator.
Direct all firepower on the flagship. Obliterate it.
Until all are one.
Nova will be his memorial.
I don't know if I'll ever be the leader that you were, but for sure, I'm gonna try. So long, Prime.
But whose sick idea was this?
Hasn't this now just become the best episode of season 3?
Oh, hands down.
Yeah. I mean, you, in a way, maybe. But God, it's just so wrong. I remember as a kid, sobbing at the end of this episode. It was like it was like my heart was ripped out of my chest again. I still don't get this episode, but I love it. I love it so much because the Matrix makes me too strong. Love
now, there's a unique complaint.
Yes. Love this episode so much.
I love the moment in the episode where, like, Optimus Prime completely chops off Rodimus's balls, where Galvatron is like, it's Rodimus, go get him, go kill him. Then Optimus Prime steps out and Galvatron's like, oh, hell no, we're leaving.
Yeah.
You know, the part I like is early in the episode where they're in the escape pod after the Decepticons blew up their ship, and Spike's all, okay, so what are me and Daniel supposed to do when we run out of air? Hieronymus is like, okay, you have two choices. You can suffocate, or you can smother.
Or you could die of asphyxiation. Yeah, that's just, I don't know. I like Rodimus as a leader. He's just, like, to the point. But, I mean, that's not really the way that you raise the morale with your, you know, your troops. But
humans are in danger in season 3.
A lot.
You're going to die.
I mean, if it's not the Decepticons, it's like cosmic radiation, like, from while you're in space. I don't even get how he did this, but, like, later on in the episode, when Hot Rod, I guess he's Hot Rod. It's kind of hard to tell whether he actually, there's like one scene where he's like, he's trying to grow, but he could also be popping his back. So it's kind of hard to tell. But
And from scene to scene too, the animators don't know whether they're drawing Hot Rod or Rodimus either. So,
he runs into, the flagship. And Springer's like, the blast doors to the command center are locked. And he just runs and punches it. And it shatters. And he runs through. He's awesome. I mean, he just doesn't get the credit he deserves.
Well, no. I mean, this episode is totally Hot Rod action hero. You know, even without the Matrix, he's still commanding the other Autobots and taking charge and, you know, going to beat down Optimus Prime. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
To reclaim the Matrix.
He just shook up a little bit. So he.
It even comes up in the dialogue. You know, Optimus is pointing a gun at him. It's like, you should have finished me when you had a chance. And Hot Rod's all, you think I wasn't trying to?
Yes. Well, I mean, it's kind of, oh gosh. So basically, it would be like Jimmy Stewart trying to beat up John Wayne. They're both awesome in their own ways. But there's no way Jimmy Stewart's going to beat up John Wayne. Just not going to happen.
It really strikes me of how much Hot Rod is Han Solo in this episode, in terms of attitude.
Yeah, I can see that. He's very cavalier.
He took over from Springer.
But yeah, I love this episode so much. But, I mean, the big thing that we haven't mentioned is the end of it. He just gets, like, completely destroyed. And there's no way that the mausoleum would cause the star to go nova. And that just doesn't make sense. But
mausoleum didn't cause a star.
No, mausoleums can do that, actually.
You would know.
All mausoleums.
Okay. You're mixing up the sequence of events. The mausoleum plunged into a separate star somewhere else.
Okay.
Because Optimus set it on a collision course as the auto-destruct system.
Uh-huh.
Whereas at the end of the episode, Optimus flies the wrecked Autobot ship into the middle of the Quintesson trap, which was apparently some kind of detonator, which destroyed a solar system.
The physics are all screwy, but if Galvatron can, like, destroy a planet, I mean, I guess it makes sense. But
he's Galvatron.
So in the Return of Optimus Prime, I guess it's not, just because we're humans. We haven't gone, like, farther than the moon. I just always assume that if we have astronauts out there, for the most part, unless they're there with, like, Autobots, they're going to be, like, in our solar system. So as a kid, I just always thought that they rescued Optimus before he, like, went into our sun. But obviously from this, I mean, that's not the case. But the last time we see him, he's blown to chunks. And he's virtually
so what you're saying is that the G1 cartoon has some continuity issues.
I can't believe that, XV. That's just not possible.
I know it's
his
a shock.
Continuity is just as tight as a sense of scale.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
yes.
I still love this episode so much.
I had never actually seen the entire thing until now. Season 3 moved to the time I had to go to school. And I remember now seeing Daniel walking through the mausoleum looking at the names on the plates, and I'm pretty sure I had to go out the door right before Zombie Optimus Prime shows up. I never even knew that was there.
You got totally saved there. I mean, you lucked out.
Yeah, I did.
That's like walking... No, go ahead.
That's kind of amazing, though, that you
moment.
Spent all this time without seeing this full episode.
Yeah, I don't know how I missed it, but I missed it.
Vicky?
That moment where Daniel is walking through just reading the names of the Autobots, that is really sad and lonely for me. I mean, just... It's a moment of honest reflection about these people actually have died and they actually do miss them that you don't ever see in any other episode.
And then he opens a closet and a generic Autobot falls out.
Kind of looks like Reflector.
I was thinking it was a failed Dinobot experiment. I mean, it isn't a closet after all.
So any other thoughts on the episode?
It's awesome.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
It's awesome for all the wrong reasons.
Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers internet radio show since 1999. 100% girlfriend free since 1999.
Hey, so we're back. So one thing I actually failed to mention during the news was I actually made news this week. I was the first person to find Ultra Mammoth, or the first person that I know of to report it. He is pretty sweet.
Way to go, Brian. You know, Fun Pub told everybody, like, don't spoil it, you know?
And Brian reports on it.
It's the last figure of the series,
thank you.
JD.
Thank you, Don. Thank you for explaining the joke. Yeah. Very good. Because thank you.
It's sort of like in issue 79 when they were spoiling the return of Action Master Prime in 80. It really wasn't a big spoiler.
Thank you for ruining the joke. Good job, Don. Yes.
Way to go, Mom.
Yeah. Anyway, that's pretty cool. I'm glad that you got that, and I'm glad that I had already sold mine.
Have you already shipped it out?
No, Disbro's going to come pick it up over Thanksgiving.
Cool.
His folks still live here, so.
Have you had a chance? Did you open it up to look at it?
Oh, no.
Yeah, so unless you transform it, don't. There's no reason to.
I have Nemesis, so it's like, I'm good.
He's going to pick it up from JD because otherwise it would have took JD 6 months to ship him out.
It would have taken longer than Thanksgiving for me to ship it. So he was just like, I'll just come pick it up. I'm not even coming up for anything. I'm just coming to pick it up because that will be faster than asking you to ship it.
I'm hoping I can pick one up myself because that's the only figure really that I wanted at the time.
Don, okay, you want it? $400 right now.
Pricey, bro. Yeah, I definitely Disbro got a deal off of me.
How much is it going for? I'm not going to sell it, but how much is it going for?
It's probably 100 or more. I mean, that's what they were going for when I get the order. Let's check eBay. You want more math, Brian?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's do some math.
Oh, yeah. Step into a Slim Jim.
He is going for over $100.
Over 100. I guess I did about right. Disbro did good.
Not a great toy. At least not a great beast mode. The beast mode might as well not exist, but it's a great robot mode.
Yeah, the robot mode does look cool. I mean, the Matrix and everything, that's pretty cool.
I like the fact that they recolored it.
I didn't even see it. What they do the color around?
It's blue and silver.
Oh, that's cool. That works.
Yeah, I think this is a prime example, no pun intended, of the right colors on the right mold. You know, really.
I mean, I guess I can see what you're saying. Yeah. I don't know. For being a prime made into an Ultra Magnus, it's not a bad job of it. I don't know.
It's not a Lio Magnus.
It's still prime. It's still an Optimus, you know, in Ultra Magnus colors. So it's not like I don't know. I think it would have been cooler with a different head. This is one of those that I think if they would have put a different head on it, it would have made a huge difference.
Maybe.
You're just trying to talk yourself out of the figure.
No.
Since you already sold it.
I wanted to sell it immediately. When I saw the set, I was like, I am buying that set. And when they showed the Ultra Mammoth, I'm like, I don't want that. Because so, I already have that mold.
What did you keep? Slipstream?
Nope. I sold Slipstream. I've kept everything but Mammoth and
Slipstream.
I sold those two. So I wouldn't mind selling the others, and I probably will eventually. Breakdown, I definitely want to keep.
I definitely want to keep Breakdown. No. I definitely need to keep Jackpot. No.
Jackpot, I don't mind. I do have the Action Master of that, so I need to display those side by side.
Yeah, you do.
So I don't mind having that. And Circuit is a throwaway. So, and the Scourge, I definitely want it off of that set too.
Oh, I forgot about Scourge. That's how boring it is.
I need to display him. I need to display him next to Scourge. Is what I need to do.
Well, Brian, Make Toys is doing the armor for that Scourge, like they did for the G2 Prime and the Battle Tanker.
What's that, Don? I don't understand you.
Why did you come to me on the day of my daughter's wedding?
So if they keep the same animal parts they used for the purple version from BotCon last year.
Yeah. That'd be pretty nice.
That really makes that Scourge into something special.
I'm sorry. I just love the way you put that. It's something special.
He's special.
Well, it's basically you can have less money in it and the trailer than you would the Make Toys Nova Prime, and it looks better.
Yeah, that's fair. That's cool.
Where's that? Who has that third party set? The trailer add-on?
Make Toys.
Make Toys.
They're also doing that Computron that's coming out too.
Oh yeah.
You know who else is doing a Computron? Hasbro. That's the one I'm going to get.
Wait, yeah. They're doing a Computron?
The Creons.
Oh yeah. Well, if you can call that Computron.
I'm calling it Computron. Plus, I already have nose cones, so there you go. Okay. So what else? Blue Streak shipping apparently.
Yeah. And I'm impressed with the car mode. It looks like it.
Do you have it already?
70s car. No, I don't have it yet. It's in shipment, but I'm looking at the photos on online, and he even has the T-tops and everything, and that, you know, that tan paint job with the black hood. I mean, it just looks very 70s to me. Looks real nice.
I placed the order at Hobby Link Japan because it was $46 and change. And I got the thank you screen for placing your order, and they never received it. Then it went discontinued. So, unfortunately, that's okay. But the one I wanted is still coming out.
How much is this Nova Prime?
It's $149. It's $149 at the Make Toys website. TF Source has them for $179.
I'm debating Blue Streak.
If they came out, they ought to come out. Are they coming out with one that is for the Scourge, though, of the other trailer set?
Yeah, I've seen test shots of it, but they've done a trailer for every other version of that G2 Prime.
Yeah, so it would seem like they should. That would be awesome. I might actually have to spring for that if they do that.
Yeah, Brian, you should definitely pick up Blue Streak. I think he's the one to keep in vehicle mode if you pick one up and you want to display one as a vehicle.
I love Prowl. I really do. I mean, it's amazing, but
you should really get another one. I know you've got one, but you should get two.
And then Smokescreen's going to be different, so you need to get, you know, a Smokescreen too.
Well, see, for me, the Blue Streak has always been kind of plain, you know, so that's why I picked Prowl over him. And that smoke screen is the one that I really won't.
I'm more and more happy that I picked up Blue Streak, because look at this car mode. I mean, I'm a car guy, so that just screams old classic Datsun Z to me.
Yeah, it is very nice. Dang it.
Now, if they do a blue version of that, I will probably be interested in getting that, though.
I don't want a blue version.
But to me, that's just kind of blah, just for me.
Hmm.
Okay, what else, guys? Anything else going on? Yeah.
No.
I haven't really, like, sort of a slow news week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, Halloween.
Speaking of which, I could probably end the show right now and eat lots of Halloween candy.
I bought Halloween candy. I shouldn't have. Sorry, honey.
Yeah, I may go do that. I could go eat some Snickers right now, or I could continue doing the show. So that's it for Radio Free Cybertron this week. I have been your host, Brian Kilby. You can find us on Twitter at TF Radio and on Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio. I am personally on Twitter at B Kilby. JD is at the JD Church. Don Ferguson is at HMRC4VR. EVR, and Diecast is at Diecast2. And he is also dressed as Robin the Boy Wonder.
Call 1-900-RFC to vote whether you want Diecast to live or not.
He kind of looks like he looks like a character from a porno version of Batman. Is honestly what he looks like.
He does. That is exactly right, Brian. I'm sad that you came up with that, and not me too. That's what's really disappointing.
He actually looks more like the Chris O'Donnell Robin than anything else.
A little bit, yeah. Is that the one that you prefer, Don?
No, I like Tim Drake from Young Justice.
Okay. There you go.
And that was the show.
Ponder that, would you?
We'll see you next week. Have a good one.
Take care, everybody.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required. If you know what's good for you,